I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page. Marissa, how are you?
I'm good. I'm feeling rested after a nice vacation.
I was going to ask you about your vacation. We deliberately didn't talk about it before you went.
Right. I have returned. It was great.
I have returned. That's awesome.
The weather was great. And you know what? Honestly, it's been pretty mild here back home. So
yeah,
it wasn't so painful coming back, but it was good. And we were ready to come home. It's always nice to get back into a routine.
Isn't it interesting how as much as we love vacation, we really like our routines?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe if we would build, that was called habit goals, so we won't be there. So have you sent the invitation?
To my birthday party next month?
But my post this morning was, I don't even know when your birthday is. That's okay. I should probably figure that out so I don't miss it, huh?
March 18th, everyone can email me.
All right, I'm going to make a note of that because I don't want to forget that. Okay, the day after my nephew.
Hmm.
So now I'll remember.
Perfect.
No, so my post that went out this morning was entitled, Have You Sent the Invitation? And we're kind of working our way through what I consider some of the highlights of John Maxwell's latest book, The Leader's Greatest Return.
Mm-hmm.
And John loves to talk about the leadership table. And it really is this wonderful analogy, I guess that you would call it, that he uses where, you know, he says, are we inviting people to the leadership table so that he loves conversation and he loves food. So if you put both of those things together, that's what he would consider a perfect evening. You know, around the table with people who are good friends or people who are colleagues or people that he can learn from, sharing a meal. And one of the things that he talks about in his book was that he, as a very, very young leader in the particular field that he was in, was invited to a conference in LA. So he was in San Diego. He was invited to come to LA. And he was a little bit intimidated by the group that he was going to be around because some of these people were far his senior. These were people that were considered the best of the best in his industry, so to speak. And when he walked through the door, this one person stood up, someone who was really his senior and would have been almost like someone that he would have looked up to, someone he clearly esteemed highly, and said, John, I've been waiting for you. I've saved you a spot at the table right next to me. And what John said was he sat down and then he realized what a privilege it was to be around these leaders who were the best of the best. And he said he never forgot what that felt like and he never forgot what opportunities it gave him. So I thought one of the things I would do is, and I did give you a little bit of a prep on this because I didn't want to throw that much of a curveball, but, you know, share with our listeners the conversation around the table, so to speak, that you had while you're on vacation and really what it was like.
Mm-hmm. So like John, I also enjoy food with people I love. So it was great when we were on our vacation. It was actually like a full family vacation with my siblings and spouses and kids and all that. So there were a lot of us. And one evening after putting the kids to bed, we gathered outside in the outdoor living space. It was a beautiful night. We had our dessert and our wine, and someone had asked me just casually about some of the like ancestry genealogy work that I had done several months ago now, and it sparked an entire conversation about our family, both on my mom's side and my dad's side. And instead of it being one of those situations where I simply just like presented, here's what I learned and isn't this cool, it was an opportunity for my dad to share what he knew about his family and for my mom to kind of chime in with details that she knew and for my siblings to ask questions. And we were able to unearth some more details about our family that we never knew over the span of like an hour. And we had a really, wow, really great conversation around it. And it was just like one of those times where like everyone just felt really connected. And
sure,
while we weren't necessarily sitting around a table, we were seated kind of in like a round format. Mm-hmm. And it was just a really good opportunity for for dialogue and to learn from one another over something that, you know, was kind of as simple as history, but as complex as like how our family came to be who we are and why we live where we live and all of that. It was really cool.
That's great. Now, did anybody just kind of like sit and not be part of the group?
No, I feel like it was a really, really good conversation. Like even my sister's boyfriend, who didn't even know that I was like doing this kind of stuff and obviously doesn't know too much history about our family, he even seemed engaged in the conversation, which was really cool. Yeah.
You know, and that's one of the keys. If we think about, you know, the leadership table, everybody that comes to the table has a purpose. Mm-hmm. Everyone has something that they contribute or questions that they ask. And so in the case of your sister's boyfriend, he might have had a really powerful role in being someone that wasn't as intimately involved, but could ask questions that others may have missed. Mm-hmm. Or that we may have simply presumed that something was a certain way. And he could say, well, what about this? Oh, and we never thought about that. You know, Marissa, can you go check on that? Mm-hmm. I think that's a really great example. You know, I had mentioned too before we hit record that I love, you know, those dinner time conversations. And in our family, with anywhere from 6 to 9 grandkids in the room, depending on who's in town, you can't have the conversation because there's just a lot of activity going on. But sometimes if you can just, you know, if the kids are somewhere else playing, all of a sudden you can tell that the whole dynamic of the conversation shifts. Mm-hmm. And it becomes a really meaningful dialogue. And that's what we're talking about when we say inviting somebody to the table. So we, you know, some people say, well, you know, you just can't, you can't really tell if somebody's a leader. Well, yeah, you really can. And I was having a conversation at one company a while back. And the question was, well, you know, is there any way to really learn if a person is a leader? Because we promoted somebody to the position and it just didn't work out. But we couldn't have known that before. Well, yeah, you might have been able to. And and if we think about it, if leadership is influence, which we know it is, if a person can influence without authority, they're truly a leader. Anybody that if you give a title to can make people do things for at least a little while. But for somebody to be able to influence others to act, let's say a committee at work or a team, you know, a volunteer group of some sort. Maybe you've got a team that's volunteering for a special project. If somebody can lead that group, they're actually giving direction and inspiring people who don't report to them. They are displaying leadership abilities. Mm-hmm. So then we have to say, okay, that person now, let's invite them to the table. And they don't just get to sit there. That's why I asked if anybody was just sitting around, because you don't get the privilege of coming to the table to just sit. If you got the privilege to be invited to the table, you're really there to contribute. And so if we're going to do this, the dynamics of the table are this. We have to set upfront expectations with the attendees. They need to know why they're there. One of the great tools that some organizations do a really, really good job about is they would do executive roundtables. Mm-hmm. It's a similar kind of thing where everybody has to contribute. It's a masterminding of all the ideas around the table. The other thing is that for a leader that brings people to the table, they got to lose themselves. You know, if I'm thinking about the more senior gentleman that asked John to come sit by him, you know, he could have easily made that event about him, but he didn't. He made it more about John and the other people around the table. So, you know, one of the things I try to help a lot of leaders understand is it's not about them. They think it is, it's not. Can't ever be about you. It has to be about the other people. You also need to expect people to add value to the group. And you may have to say, listen, I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to call on you a couple times. So if you're bringing the person to the table, call on them. Just say, hey, what are your thoughts about this? You're new around the table. Does anything strike you as unusual? Whatever it might be, just make sure that you're engaging them in the conversation. And one of the phrases that our listeners have heard me say a lot is, you know, adding value. I want to invite people to the table that can add value. So I'm going to throw you a little bit of a curveball, but what kind of a value could somebody bring to the table that isn't mature in terms of leadership skills?
Oh, well, I think they could probably bring a lot to the table, but the first thing that comes to mind might be just like point of view or perspective on something.
Exactly. Sorry, I had to take a swallow there, my water. Yeah, we're looking for another perspective. Mm-hmm. That's really what we're looking for. I want somebody to tell me what I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, what did we miss in this conversation? From that outsider's perspective, mm-hmm. you know, somebody who isn't often here, what is your assessment? Sometimes I've asked the questions of people that have come around a table for the first time. Tell me what you noticed. You know, how do you think the meeting went? How do you think the contributions were? Because especially if it was something where I might have been facilitating, I can miss that very easily. It's real easy to miss that. Another note that John says is watch their eyes.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, so, well, somebody one time said the eyes are the window into the soul. Mm-hmm. We can tell so much from people's eyes. You know, I was recently in a meeting where I think the meeting was a train wreck, to be honest with you. And I just looked at people's eyes. And you know, when people are focused, when people are attentive, you can tell. Mm-hmm. And when they start to lose it, you can also tell that. Salespeople, I think, you know, might be the best at this, being able to tell when they may be losing a prospect. And it's really all in their eyes. Mm-hmm. Look into their eyes, see if there's a connection, see if they're listening. Watch their eyes. Do their eyes follow people around the table as they speak? You know, look at facial expressions, you know, and body language. All of those things become really, really huge. So the next thing that John talks about is the benefit from the power of proximity. And John has a great phrase. He talks about HULUC. And you know, I used to really dismiss the statement that said, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Yeah, it's both. I had shared with you just before we started that, you know, there I was, cause I was in a meeting today and I talked about, the benefits of HULUC and there was the first boss that ever gave me a chance managing a department just happened to be somebody who knew my parents, came to my family's house when I was like 5 or 6 for the first time. He came from Europe. My parents spoke German. He was Swiss. And it was just that's HULUC. You know, he knew me. He saw me grow up. He saw me become a tool maker. He saw me, you know, supervising a tool room, that kind of thing. But he said once, you know, that he said it to one of my family members, you know, if I ever start a company, I'm going to make sure I take David. Well, he didn't start a company, but he brought me to a company that he was at and then promoted me. That's HULUC.
Yep.
And all of us, if we're going to be honest, or I shouldn't say all of us, but most of us, if we're going to be honest, we've had some opportunities of knowing the right people. Now, that doesn't keep a job for you, but it can help you. It can introduce you to the right people. So one of the things we need to do as we bring people around the leadership table is to show them the value of HULUC, you know, and helping them understand it, and putting them in a position to be exposed to people. You know, I had also shared with you before we started recording, we had quite a conversation, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Before we started recording, of, you know, someone who I think missed a great opportunity of maximizing HULUC. Mm-hmm. They just didn't see the value in the people that they were able to interact with. So if we think about putting people in a position to have HULUC, how, from your perspective of somebody a generation younger than me, what would you look for from somebody of my generation to help with HULUC? What could, or I guess it doesn't have to be generational. How can we help others and expose them to HULUC?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I always think about networking, and not in the typical sense that we think about networking with like going to a happy hour and meeting people. Like, that is definitely not my comfort zone, but I love meeting new people, finding out who they could connect me to.
Right.
And in, you know, like, hey, would you mind introducing me to your neighbor? Because I think like we could work on XYZ together.
Sure.
And so I think like leveraging that kind of who luck can be really useful for someone like me, who's not like super comfortable in a crowd of people, just trying to right. figure out who might be someone like that you want to connect with.
Very good.
I'd say that for me would be like the top pick, but also like learning from other people and like their experiences and,
right.
You know, like, but even in motherhood, like understanding, okay, like this friend has been there. Let me reach out to them and say, like, I'm here now. What helped you get onto the other side of this?
Right.
And that, I think that can be useful in all settings, whether it be like parenting or relationships sure. or work, things like that.
Exactly. You know, I love, as you were talking, I was thinking of a scenario just this past week when I was in an event with someone and someone else came up to me that I knew, and just making the introduction, you know, actually I was, what the, I'll tell you exactly what the event I was at. I was at, the Central New York Boat Show and I won't mention whose name it was, but somebody that you and I both know from one of our MACNI member companies was there, and he just happened to be looking at docks and hoists. Well, guess what? I just happened to know the guy that owns Brinson Marine. And I just, you know, I was able to say, listen, take it from me. This is the best dock and hoist manufacturer there is. And this guy that sells them, Pete, is the most honest. And it's, and I wasn't, you know, I'm not a rep. I'm not getting paid. But I could make that connection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if I think about, so that was, yeah, that wasn't, had, did anything to do with a career. But yet, it was a connection of showing how we can value relationships and leverage those relationships to help someone else. I can't imagine if my colleague would have gone, you know, down to the other end of the building and gone to somebody who I couldn't testify of their honesty. I can with Pete.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brinson is as honest as can be. So now I'm going to have to get a sponsorship. He's going to have to sponsor the next page.
Sponsor our podcast.
Since I can't get it from Airborne Gummies. But the point is, that's a little bit of who luck right
mm-hmm,
there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we take an interest in other people, who luck is just going to naturally occur. You know, when you said you love asking people questions, you love learning from other people. Well, when you ask people questions and you want to learn from them, you are showing them that you value them. And that automatically establishes a connection. And we never know when that connection might be able to be taken to the next level and give us opportunities or someone else opportunities that they never thought they would have. But one of the things that we need to do is we need to make sure that the people that we're introducing to other people are worthy of who luck. And one of the ways you do that is I think is we make sure that people realize that how do I word this without making it sound wrong? People's time is extremely valuable.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only resource that we have in limited supply. Every other resource you can get more of, except time. And if somebody's going to give someone their time, they have to be ready for it. You know, John Maxwell, I love the story when he talks about the first time he met with John Wooden and he had 5 pages of notes. These were the questions I want to ask John Wooden. And it ended up being a multi-year friendship and mentoring opportunity because he was prepared every time he met with Coach Wooden. So you don't want people. And so not only did he have the questions, but when you go back, you want to make sure, and we'll talk more about this next week. When you go back, you want to make sure you did the things that the person suggested you do, because that proved that you took serious their comments. Another thing that I just want to touch on real quick is that, you know, John likes to say that leadership is caught more than taught. And I really think that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
When I was doing this training for one of our member companies earlier today, you know, I just asked him, I said, so who has impacted your life So that to get you, we were doing the one of our transformational leadership classes on What Got You Here Won't Get You There by Marshall Goldsmith. And I asked the question, so give me an example of the best and the worst leaders or bosses you've ever had. So we talked about the best bosses. The best bosses were good leaders, typically. And I would say, so, you know, what was it like? What did you learn from them? And really what we always come back with is we caught leadership from them. We saw how they acted, and we decided that we wanted to model ourselves after that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the value of proximity. And if we're not finding the right kind of leaders in our organizations, maybe we're not giving them the opportunity to be in proximity with the right kind of people. So that was kind of my take on this. Have you sent the invitation in the leadership table? I think it's a great teaching tool. It's a great, for me, there's a lot of great imagery there. And I love your story about the family and the family history, and that everybody, including your sister's boyfriend, was drawn into the conversation, because that's what we want as we have leadership discussions. Can you think of any ways that we could know if the conversation around the table's going bad?
Well, I mean, I think, like you mentioned, reading eyes, reading body language.
Yep.
I mean, I try not to think like, oh, this is bad. It's like, I don't know. I guess I don't think too much in that way, but more or less like this is how it's being received.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I don't have a really good answer for that, but it's never too late to course correct.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think, and you know, you hit it when you took us back to the watching their eyes. You know, make sure that when we're having these conversations that everybody is engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not engaged, correct the course.
And you I think being vulnerable and just saying like, hey, I don't think this is like being received the way I meant, or this yes. isn't how I expected this conversation to go. Like, what am I missing? And like saying right. that in the moment, and that can completely like turn the ship around and get the people back on board.
Exactly.
And making the conversation productive instead of the opposite.
Very good. That was perfect. You know, and there was one thing I almost forgot, and I'm glad I looked at my notes here a little bit. The other benefit of inviting a prospective new leader to our leadership table is they get to see the culture of the organization mm-hmm. played out in the conversation, and you can tell if they're going to fit,
mm-hmm.
which is critical. You know, our culture of our companies are lived out in our meetings
yeah.
and in our daily activities, our daily interactions. And if these people get to see it, we're going to see how comfortable they are with it. You know, when I was at SelfLock, there were some of our staff meetings got pretty intense. It wasn't a bad meeting. It was just an intense meeting. And we were okay with challenging each other. And everybody around the table was okay with that. So somebody coming to that leadership table, it would have given us a chance to see, can they take part in a healthy debate without being felt like they were being put upon or something, or
mm-hmm.
or that it was a hostile type of place.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a good, honest discussion with passion, but it was never anything personal. So again, that leadership table gives you a chance to experience it, to be exposed to it. And so it benefits the person invited, but also the rest of the folks around the table to say, hey, could this be the next up-and-coming leader that we need in our organization? So I'm with John. I'm with you. I love good food. I love good conversation. We just need to find ways to have more of it. If only we could get more food.
I know, staff meetings. I'm good with this.
That would be great. So I'm hoping Randy or Cindy's listening.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they should be. If they're not, shame on them. But food would make our staff meetings better, wouldn't it?
Make it fun. I mean, I call in, so who knows what I'm eating.
That's true.
But
that's true. All right. So you want to know what we're talking about next week? I think I know because this is kind of like a series
we got going here.
So next week, we're really going to talk about mentors. And I know I've touched on that, but you know, we've been doing this almost 3 years.
Yeah, it's a good reminder. And so we can't expect everyone to go back to.
Exactly. Although I do, one of our listeners, I asked him a few weeks back, I said, so did you listen to the podcast? He goes, no. He said, I think I'm up to her maternity leave. So he started at number one.
Wow, that's impressive.
And he's going through. So yeah.
That's awesome.
But we're going to talk about mentoring. And I want people to think about mentors who have really spoken into their life and how valuable mentoring is in leadership development. Mm-hmm. So I think that's it.
Great.
Any special plans?
Oh, special plans.
I mean, we can't talk about the birthday yet. That's still a few weeks away.
No, I can't even, you know, I can't remember. It's okay. Funny because for a while I was thinking today was Friday. It is very much Monday. But that can kind of explain to you how my Monday went if I think it's Friday.
Exactly. You're wishing it's Friday.
I guess so.
So maybe next time we talk, we'll have some more exciting plans that we can share with folks.
Right.
All right. So with that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
And this was The Next Page.